Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Channel Radio. It's the very first show, so for all of you out there listening this morning, good morning and welcome. Very new to radio, so please bear with me as I take you through this first hour. We're going to speak about various health subjects and matters this morning, and we've got a few songs as well to play for you too. The sequence of the show this morning is we're going to discuss some news, some health news that I picked up recently that I think you'll find interesting and relevant. And we'll also discuss some relevant wellness topics. And today we're going to discuss digestive health. So for you, all of you out there that have got issues with your guts, you might find it quite interesting. And there'll be a few tips in there that we can perhaps help you with and make you feel a bit better. The purpose of the show is to really educate you, to inform you and to help you to improve your overall health, because I think you'll agree we can all feel a little bit better and we all suffer at times from tiredness or fatigue or the odd illness. And there's ways out there that you can actually make yourself feel better through natural remedies. And what we'll have each week, we'll have a special guest, and we've got a few people coming up over the coming weeks, which I'll read out a bit later. A quick disclaimer, if you've got any issues with your health or you're concerned about your health, please do discuss that with your doctor or health professional. Anything that we discuss today should not be taken as health advice as such, but you might want to put some of it into practice and maybe it will help you out. Okay, I have with me today Mr. Paul Andrews.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
I'm very well, Paul. I'm very nervous.
Are you?
Yes.
Really? You don't need to be. Look nervous.
I'm very nervous, but very excited.
Good.
It's going to be a fantastic hour.
It is.
And it's a huge learning curve for me.
So, absolutely. Well, I'm the producer for the show for today, and in future you're producing it yourself, but I'm helping you today.
I will be flying solo.
Yeah, absolutely you will. But it's good fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Right, okay, so let's crack on and we'll just go into a few news articles that I picked up recently. It's coming into flu season. For those of you that have a susceptibleness to getting flu, so if you're, if you've got asthma, if you're pregnant, if you're over 65, are you over 65, Paul?
Almost. I am pregnant. No, I'm not. I'm almost 65.
You're not asthmatic as well, are you?
Yeah, no. I've got the full set.
So if you've got asthma, if you've got any cardiovascular issues, if you've got young children, I know at the moment they're running out flu vaccines for children up to 4 years old. If you are in a care home or if you are the carer for an elderly or disabled person, they are actually giving out now free flu jabs. And it might be worth looking into and having a chat with your doctor. The reason I mention this is because there is, in the news, there is the Australian flu that's coming our way. Because obviously the Australians have opposing seasons to us. In Australia, they've reported over 100,000 cases of this virulent, if that's the right word, strain of flu. And they reckon that the 100,000 is 2.5 times the normal amount. So they reckon it's on its way to us over here. And what happens is we tend to mirror what happens in Australia.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's important. If you're susceptible to getting colds and flu, have a chat to your doctor. Might be worth looking at having the flu vaccination. For most people, it's free of charge as well.
Yeah, I just took my old mum to the doctor's on Saturday to have her flu jab. So,
was she?
Yeah, she's all right. Yeah, she's got flu now, obviously.
And there's a few things as well that we can do to help mitigate the risk of catching the flu. So, for those of you without those underlying health issues, you still could catch it. So, some tips include things like if you're in a public place, if you've been touching handles on banisters or on shop counters, if you put your hands on the shop counter, obviously it can be transmitted that way. They reckon that if you're careful not to touch your eyes, your nose or your mouth until you've washed your hands, actually you do reduce the risk of catching the flu virus.
Do you know, it's really funny, Neil. I was reading a thing Saturday, I think, and it was a blog online, and it said everything we were taught as a kid about coughing and sneezing, which is to put your hand over your mouth when you cough, is the stupidest thing that you could possibly do.
Mm-hmm.
What they said is you actually ought to put your sleeve over your mouth.
Yep.
Yeah. Because if you cough into your hand and then shake hands with someone.
Or touch something or banister.
You spread the germs.
Yeah.
And it's taken a lifetime to realise that, hasn't it?
I took my kids years ago to cough and sneeze into their arm.
Yeah, yeah.
Into the crease of their elbow.
Yeah.
And you're quite right. Yeah, if you cough and sneeze into your hand and then touch anything, the virus, you know, the flu virus is quite tough, quite hardy. It does tend to hang around quite a lot.
Right.
So, yeah. So cleanliness is good. Make sure you wash your hands regularly. And hopefully you'll go through the winter avoiding the flu. But Public Health England have taken it quite seriously. They're rolling out 21 million vaccines, which is a record. They've never run out that many vaccines before.
Wow.
And it is available free of charge for most people. So,
yeah, sure.
You know, please, for those of you that, you know, stand at risk, do get out there.
Yeah.
Do get your vaccination done, because if you get the flu, it's quite unpleasant.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of companies now actually provide it for their staff as well.
They do,
yes. Yeah. A friend of mine, Gillie Monk, runs a company called All Health Matters, and they do that kind of thing for corporates, where they've got a mobile clinic, and they go to corporates and dish out flu jabs and all kinds.
Excellent.
So, yeah, good stuff. Get it done.
I think you can also get it in Tesco's as well, I think. But and other supermarkets are available, but I know my local Tesco's I think they charge a small fee. But it's worth getting it looked at and getting it done.
Right.
Excellent. Okay. Right. I'm going to play a quick advert, and then we'll play our first song. And then what we'll do is we'll have a chat about digestive health and ways in which you can improve it.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome to
That was Mr. Blue Sky by the Electric Light Orchestra. I'm sure a few of you have heard that before, but that was all 5 minutes and 2 seconds of it. Fantastic song. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I'm on live on Channel Radio as we speak. You can follow me on Twitter. The Twitter handle is at Health Radio Show. The hashtag is Health Matters Radio Show. You can also find me on Facebook as well. If you search Health Radio Show, the Facebook page for the show will come up at the top of the search results. And it'd be great for you to follow me on Twitter as well, because I'll give you lots of health and tips, health tips and advice. And there'll also be show updates as well. And I will be mentioning the guests that are coming up over the coming weeks on the Twitter feed. And I'll also mention those a bit later on as well. If you'd like to have a shout out, if you'd like to say hello to me, if you'd like to ask me a question on Twitter, please do drop me a line at Health Radio Show. Had a tweet from Chris Hyde at Chameleogenics. I hope I got that right, Chris. And we've had this discussion this morning about the flu. And you've said there that your Swedish fiance tells you that sneezing into the arm is standard and taught in Sweden for years. So it just goes to show all those years that we've been told to sneeze into our hand, or even worse, maybe sneezing into handkerchiefs, where it could become a bit of a germ party.
Yeah.
As soon as
I read that, I thought, isn't that so obvious? Yeah. Why has nobody thought of that before? So it's interesting to hear from Chris that in Sweden, it's typical of the Swedes, they cracked everything, haven't they? But
And of course, the caveat is, if you are going to sneeze into your arm, please make sure that you wash your clothes on a regular basis.
Exactly, yeah.
That could get a bit messy. A bit messy, yeah. Right, okay, so remember, drop me a line at Health Radio Show. And the hashtag is hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. Come and say hello to me. If you want to shout out, if you want to mention, it would be great to hear from you this morning. Okay, so we're going to go on. I'm going to talk about digestive health. Now, for those of you that do know me, and I'm out there networking quite a bit, and I'm sure there's a few of you that do know me personally, you'll know that digestive health is one of my specialist fields. It's actually quite a passion of mine, and it's a very unresearched and a very new area of nutritional science. But it's one of those areas that really does affect your health for the better or for the worse. So what I'm going to do this morning, for the next 10 minutes or so, I'm going to take you through a few simple tips that can help you to improve your digestive health. So, Paul, how much do you know about your digestive health?
Nothing.
Okay.
No, not a lot, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's quite interesting because people that I talk to don't even know their basic anatomy. When I ask them where their stomach is, they normally are somewhere in the belly button region.
Oh, okay.
And they don't realise that if you...
Well, I'm all right with that because okay. I can see mine.
Ah, but is that your stomach or your guts?
A bit of both, I think.
So if you drew a line from your left nipple to your sternum,
yep,
that's where your stomach is.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually a lot higher up.
It's higher up than you think.
Than people realise.
Yeah.
So when people have any sort of discomfort, any bloating, any pain below the rib cage, it's actually got nothing to do with your stomach.
Stomach, okay.
It's quite interesting. People say, I've got stomachache or my stomach hurts. And the stomach very rarely causes any problems. It's the guts that cause problems.
Yeah.
All the complicated things happen in the gut.
Mm.
So your digestive system basically starts in the mouth.
Mm.
So, you know, carbohydrates get digested in the mouth. Fats and proteins get digested in the stomach. And it ends at the other end, the bit that probably we can't talk about on radio, but that natural process of getting rid of the waste matter at the other end.
Mm.
It's really important that you look after your digestive health because actually most of your immune system originates in the digestive system.
Right.
Your gut bacteria is responsible for the majority of your immune system.
Right.
So the gut bacteria, and it's estimated that there are around 100 trillion bacteria living in our guts.
Really?
Yeah. And to put that in...
No wonder I'm so big.
but they are tiny.
Move out. Can I get someone to move out?
They reckon there's about 10 trillion human cells.
Right.
And about 100 trillion bacterial cells. So bacterial cells outnumber us.
So I'm mostly bacteria?
You are mostly bacteria.
Yeah.
10 to 1. But because they're that much smaller, they take up less space. So they reckon that if you were to take those 100 trillion bacteria out of the digestive system, it would weigh about 2 to 3 pounds.
Right.
So not very much at all because they're that much smaller, but there's a lot more of them.
Right.
So digestive health is important because actually it does affect your physiological well-being as well as your psychological well-being. There's some really interesting research papers out at the moment for the link between dementia and an imbalance in the gut. Very new research. I'm not going to go into detail on it this morning, but it just goes to show this area of digestive health is very new and there's breakthroughs happening all the time.
Sure. I mean, without being funny, I mean, because I'm slightly overweight, so I'm always messing about with diets and stuff like that, and you read lots of things. And one of the interesting things is how often it flip-flops, you know. I'm teetotal, but, you know, people go, oh, you drink a glass of red wine a day, it's good for you, or you shouldn't drink alcohol, you should eat dark chocolate, no, you shouldn't eat dark chocolate, you know, the fats, not fats.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up.
It is really hard to keep up. And actually working in the field of nutrition, it can get quite frustrating.
Yeah.
So keeping ahead of the curve is quite difficult sometimes.
Mm.
I've found recently that... there has been a bit of flip-flopping. For a long time, fat was vilified.
Yep.
And actually, fat has been exonerated now.
Yeah,
think
yeah,
of the opposite word.
Yeah.
And sugar is the culprit right now.
Yeah.
So,
right. You can kind of figure sugar, can't you, really? I mean,
yeah.
And the problem with sugar, you see, I don't actually even have a sweet tooth. I'm not a dessert kind of person. I don't particularly like sweet food. And I used to live and work in the US years ago, and it was horrible. You can't eat anything there that isn't riddled with sugar. But the problem is embedded sugar.
Yep.
You eat food that you buy in a supermarket, and nearly all of it's got sugar chucked in it somewhere.
Absolutely. About 80% of the food in supermarkets has got sugar added to it.
Right.
Which makes it more important to start reading food labels.
Mm.
But we'll discuss sugar in detail in a later show.
Mm.
So just going back to digestive health, I mentioned obviously psychological and physiological well-being is important and linked to good digestive health. But also poor digestive health has been linked to other illnesses like seasonal allergies, rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune diseases, acne, chronic fatigue, mood disorders, diabetes, autism, dementia, certain types of cancer. So again, these are all new fields of research, but the scientists are realising that what goes on with those 100 trillion bacteria really does affect our health. So actually looking after them is even more important.
Mm.
So tip number one, drink plenty of water.
Right.
Drinking too little water, so dehydration, slows down your digestive processes.
Where do you stand? You see lots of people saying you have to drink 10 gallons of water a day or whatever it is.
Yep.
Where do you stand on that now?
My personal opinion is 2 to 3 litres of non-caffeinated and non-alcoholic fluids per day.
Right.
So water, green tea, decaffeinated tea, decaffeinated coffee. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
There are other thoughts on that. Some as little as 1 litre a day. But when you understand how water affects the digestive system, I would say that 2 to 3 litres a day for most people is a good amount to aim for.
Mm.
And actually, getting into a habit of drinking water is quite easy.
Mm.
If you drink a pint when you wake up and a pint before you go to bed, that's 1 litre done before you start.
It's interesting. When I'm in the mood for losing weight, and I tend to try and eat a calorie-controlled diet is basically how I do it.
Yeah.
But one of the things I find that helps more than anything is to drink water.
Yep.
Because it fills you up.
Yeah, definitely.
With no calorie intake.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And actually, the trigger between hunger and thirst is very similar.
Mm.
So what happens is people think that they're hungry when they're thirsty, so they eat.
Yeah.
And they still get that sensation, so they eat some more and eat some more and eat some more. And then they drink and the sensation goes away.
Mm.
So I say to all my clients, particularly if they're trying to lose weight, you know, if you get those hunger pangs, have a glass of water.
Yeah.
Because actually you may well be thirsty and they may well go away. So drinking plenty of water is number one, really important. Try and drink before a meal or about an hour afterwards, but don't drink during a meal because it does raise the pH of your stomach acid, which can cause some other issues.
Tell me that again.
So drinking 30 minutes before a meal is good, right, or about an hour afterwards, but the pH of water is about 7,
right,
and the pH of stomach acid is about 1.5.
Right.
So when you combine the two, your stomach acid pH rises, which is a bad thing.
Okay.
So it can lead to things not being absorbed or food
So you shouldn't drink with a meal?
You shouldn't drink with a meal.
How interesting.
Because it raises the pH of your stomach acid.
Because that's the one thing that almost everybody does.
Yeah.
Whether you drink wine or beer or water or Coke or whatever you drink, people drink with a meal.
Yeah,
interesting.
Don't drink Coke, but I won't get started on Coke today. So drink plenty of water. Number two, eat plenty of fibre. Most people that I see are deficient in fibre and actually chronically deficient in fibre.
Right.
To put that in perspective, during the Second World War, it's estimated that we were eating about 140 grams of fibre a day.
Right.
Most people that I see now don't get into double figures.
Right.
Which is quite scary.
And presumably most of that fibre was from vegetables.
Vegetables.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So today we eat lots of processed foods.
Yeah.
Lots of meat products and very little fresh vegetables.
Yeah.
And there's fiber in fruit as well.
Yeah.
But fiber is really important. Fiber not only keeps you regular, but it also helps to feed your bacteria.
Right.
Because it's your bacteria that feed on the fiber and it keeps those guys healthy as well.
Right.
I would.
And you've got 11 trillion of them to feed.
100 trillion.
Oh, 100 trillion.
Absolutely. So a good target to aim for is 30 to 40 grams a day. But what you'll tend to find is actually people will struggle to get to 30 to 40 grams without some sort of fibre supplementation. So many people out there have heard of a thing called psyllium and psyllium husks. And psyllium husks are a really good way to naturally boost your fibre intake by 10, 15 grams a day.
Okay.
Okay, number three, limit high-fat foods. Fatty and fried foods that are high in saturated fats are quite hard to digest. So they also slow down the digestive process, and that causes digestive issues as well. Too much sugar can give you bloating. Then, you know, some sugars can't be digested in the small intestine, get into the large intestine, and then your bacteria have a field day. So they can cause some discomfort and some gas as well. And also sugar is linked to ulcers.
Right.
And a thing called leaky gut syndrome. Which can affect your body as well. So try and limit the amount of sugars that you have, particularly as we've already mentioned, start reading food labels and looking out for these added sugars, because even so-called healthy foods have sugars added to them.
Right.
So just be careful there. Exercise. Exercise actually helps to speed up digestion.
Right.
It helps blood flow. And it helps actually stimulate the muscles in your digestive system, makes them stronger as well.
Right.
Governmental guidelines are 30 minutes a day, five days a week. So even things like, you know, walking or cycling, or even gardening can be good exercise, good for the mind as well.
Right.
Try and maintain a healthy weight. If you're suffering with things like acid reflux, can be an issue with weight. Mm. And also, if you get a lot of heartburn or you get pain in your abdominal area, losing some weight can be a good thing.
Right.
You know, it's good for the body anyway, not carrying, you know, too many pounds around. Right. And the last area is taking probiotics. Now, probiotics are live organisms that you take in capsule form.
Right.
And they get into, and these capsules can have anything from 1 billion to 50 billion bacteria in them.
Wow.
And they're not very big.
Must be difficult getting in there.
And they're not very big because obviously these bacteria are quite small. But what they do is they help to repopulate your good gut bacteria.
Right, okay.
So the common ones are lactobacillus and bifidobacteria. As much as you think you're healthy, your gut bacteria are constantly fighting a battle in your intestines against the bad bacteria that would want to cause you harm, and they are always present.
Right.
There's, you know, 85% of your gut bacteria are good guys, keeping you healthy, and 15% are the bad guys, but they don't affect you necessarily because the good guys are keeping them at bay. So, you know, probiotics are really important. There's a few simple tips there. If you even just follow one of them, and I would suggest that for most people, just drinking more water is a really good start. And then looking at the other areas as you progress. And if you have any gut issues, you can always contact me. If you go to my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, you can drop me a line there, or you can tweet me at iNutritionUK, trying to remember my Twitter handle there. So many Twitter handles. Drop me a line, give me a call. Happy to have a chat to you if you need any help with your digestive health.
Interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
So it's time for our next song, and it's Pink's latest song, What About Us? Enjoy.
Our searchlights, we can see in the dark. We are rockets pointed up at the stars. We are billions of beautiful hearts, and you sold us down the river too far. What about us? To be solved, we are children that need to be loved. We were willing, we came when you called, but man, you fooled.
What about
Are you ready? It's the start of us waking up. Come on, are you ready? I'll be ready.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Channel Radio with my special guest, Paul Andrews.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
I'm very well.
It's a good show so far. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it, actually. Mm. I've gone from being really, really nervous to being comfortable. So, yes, it's all good. It's all good stuff. A couple of tweets we've had in while the show has been running from Peter Allen. My good friend Peter that lives just down the corridor from us.
He does. He's only two offices down, isn't he?
Absolutely. In Kent Space in Ashford. Said, morning, Neil. Good luck, mate. Thank you, Peter. Much appreciated. And another tweet from Chris Hyde about discovering our points about digestive health, about eating more fibre, limiting high-fat foods and sugar, a bit of exercise and, you know, watch your weight and what have you. So thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for your support. And also thank you, Peter, too. Got another tweet in from Trevor Smith. Good to hear from you, Trevor. Trevor's one of my friends that I network with. Bob, networking in Maidstone.
Business over breakfast.
That's the one.
All right.
So okay. I normally see Trevor up in Maidstone every couple of weeks. And he's put there, great first show, Neil. Even got a glass of water on my desk now. See you soon. So thank you very much for that mention, Trevor.
Good stuff.
So I did mention that we've got a few guests coming up over the coming weeks. If you have an interest in health, if you're a health professional, it would be great to have you on as a guest. I'm now actually booked up until the 11th of December. But over the next few weeks, I'll just run through a list of the people we've got coming on board. Next week, we've got Claire Douglas from a company called Pretty Ambition UK. That's on the 23rd of October. On the 30th of October, we got Chris Dole from Chris Dole Personal Training. On the 6th of November, Denny Brooker from Denny Booker, Fitness. On the 13th of November, Nikki Holly, who is a Manatech Independent Associate. 20th of November, Kizzy Nicholson from Social Fireworks. 27th of November, Sarah Green from Prestige Sport Injury Clinic. And on the 4th of December, Alison Nixon, who is a nutritional health coach and Life Vantage consultant. So quite a mix of people to complement my background and my experience in nutrition. So I'm looking forward to some interesting discussions and interesting debates with those people, and also to find out a bit more about them, what they do and how they got into doing what they do. And over the coming weeks, there's a number of different topics that we are going to discuss. So just give you a quick breakdown. Over the coming weeks, we're going to talk about bone health and calcium. We're going to talk about ways to reduce your blood sugar. We're going to talk about ways to reduce your stress, your fatigue and exhaustion. We're going to talk about menopause and health issues surrounding the menopause. We're going to talk about cumin and also cancer and how cumin might help. We're going to talk about the UK's obesity problem. That will be quite an interesting topic to discuss. We're going to talk about superfoods and superfoods that you should know about that might actually help you to improve your health. We are going to also talk about ways to prevent heart disease and ways to stop fatty liver disease.
Blimey.
So there's a lot of research that I've done into putting a good mix of subjects together. And then, as I say, the purpose of the show is to inform and educate listeners. So hopefully you'll have some takeaways from this, where not literally takeaways, obviously.
That's the problem.
Too many takeaways. But you have takeaways from the show where you'll be able to maybe put some things into practice and they will improve your own health. Okay, so just going to go over a couple of articles that I picked up recently in the news. And one that's come to my attention is about artificial sweeteners. Now, lots of people that are trying to cut down on sugar go down the artificial sweetener route. And the thing with artificial sweeteners is the word artificial. If something's artificial, it's not natural. Now, while sugar is a natural thing, you know, sugar can't be considered to be healthy for you. But artificial sweeteners are not, in my opinion, a healthier option to sugar. So what happens is people, you know, they put sugar, they put sweeteners in their tea. There's a few brands that have come out recently that purport to be healthy. But the problem is that with artificial sweeteners is they often mimic sugar just without the calories.
Yeah.
And there's been some interesting research papers out recently that have said that taking artificial sweeteners can increase the risk of developing diabetes.
Wow.
Which is actually ironic because people cut down sugar because they don't want to get diabetes.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's a bit like with smoking and vaping. If you're going to cut out sugar and go on to sweeteners as an alternative, it really should be part of a strategy to come off sweeteners. You shouldn't just switch one with the other.
I've never understood why people sweeten drinks like that. I've never had sugar or anything in tea or coffee, and I drink tea and coffee black. I've never had milk in it either, and I just don't understand why people want to make it sweet.
No, I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I used to have two spoons of sugar, and then over the years, I'd sort of gradually cut down. You know, and doing what I do for a living, you would expect me to, you would expect me to lead by example. But it's a matter of taste, and it is actually quite interesting. If you go to my Facebook page, which is Iron Nutrition UK, I had to think then. There is a thing called the Million Calorie Challenge. And I put together a little chart of how many calories you would consume over 10 years based on the number of spoons of sugar you put in your drinks.
Right, okay.
And it's actually quite scary. If you put 3 teaspoons, and just the thought of it is quite disgusting, but if you put 3 teaspoons of sugar in your drinks and you have 6 cups of coffee a day, which is, you know, 6 cups of tea or coffee is not an excessive amount. No. Over 10 years, that's over 1 million calories. 262 kilograms of sugar.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize is, you know, in order to be healthy, you don't always have to make really big changes in your life. You can make small changes.
Yeah.
You know, if you take 3 teaspoons, then maybe cut down to two.
Yeah.
And then 1.5. And, you know, your taste buds do adjust. And actually, refined sugars are incredibly damaging to the body, in my opinion. You know, there's a lot of research out there that has proven that, you know, diabetes is a risk, certain cancers are a risk. But just to go back to the subject of sweeteners, if you are on sweeteners, if you're using sweeteners as a strategy to come away from sugar, I would recommend that you actually think about coming off the sweeteners as well, or certainly cutting them down. I reckon that in the UK, there's 4 million people that suffer with diabetes,
right?
Which is a scary amount.
It is, yeah.
And it doesn't just affect...
Is that both types of diabetes?
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't just affect their own health. It affects the health and the, you know, the quality of life of people around them.
Yeah.
But it also puts a massive strain on the NHS as well.
Yeah, of course.
Now, there's certain types of diabetes that are hereditary, and we develop, you know, perhaps as we get older.
Yeah.
And there's other types of diabetes that we develop because we lead poor lifestyles.
Yeah, sure.
And it's never diabetes in that instance. It's never a choice, but our lifestyle is a choice, and our diet is a choice.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's quite a scary thing. Diabetes puts a huge strain on the NHS. And, you know, if there's ways to improve your life, improve your lifestyle, perhaps exercise a bit more, change your diet, eat less sugary things, eat less processed things to mitigate the risk of diabetes. And, you know, I would highly recommend everyone out there should do it, because diabetes is a pretty awful disease.
It is, isn't it? It's the funny thing is with diet, it is a lifestyle thing. As you made reference to earlier, back during the Second World War, we consumed a lot more fibre because we ate a lot more fresh food.
Yep.
The problem that we face as a modern society is the takeaway society, really.
Yep.
And that's whether you take it away from a pre-cooked takeaway shop or you take it away from a supermarket ready to microwave. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's processed food full of chemicals, full of calories. And it's how we get around that. It's, you know, I'm one of the worst for having a really bad lifestyle. I live on my own. I work incredibly long hours. I don't go shopping very often. I do like to cook, and I like to cook fresh food, and I do like to eat vegetables and salad. But quite often, I get, it's 10:30 at night, I haven't eaten anything, I'm starving hungry, mm-hmm. I'm on my way home. What do? The supermarket's closed, yep. The kebab shop's open.
We live in a convenient society.
And we live in a convenient society, yeah. And you go, I don't really want to eat that, but there isn't any choice.
Yeah.
Now, that's my fault for not organising myself, but I think that's the key thing, isn't it? That we live in a convenient society and we've got used to being convenient, but it's not very convenient for our health.
It's not at all. And actually, when you look at the illnesses that people die of these days, compared to, say, 100 years ago, you know, the obesity crisis that we've got has only been around the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
But when you look at illnesses that we die of now, they tend to be non-communicable. So we die of, you know, diabetes or cancer, these things that happen inside us. Mm. Whereas 100 years ago, you would die of communicable diseases. You'd die of pneumonia or tuberculosis.
Yeah, smallpox.
Yeah. So you would tend to die of things that you caught.
Yeah.
If you didn't die of old age.
Yeah. Now, at 32.
Exactly. But now we tend to catch or we tend to develop illnesses inside us.
Yeah.
And that has to be linked to our diet.
Yeah, of course.
You know, our nutrition or lack of.
Yeah.
Lack of exercise. You know, we do live in this, you know, very convenient society of fast food and foods that are very low in nutrients and very, you know.
I just made a throwaway line there, but it's interesting, isn't it, that in previous years, and in fact, right up until the turn of the 20th century, life expectancy, even in the West, was very low.
Yeah.
We now have much higher life expectancy, although a lot of it's spent being ill.
Being ill, definitely. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And if you actually look at the Japanese, you know, the Japanese have got one of the highest life expectancies in the world.
Mm.
And actually, they live a fairly healthy life right up into their old age.
Yeah.
But they don't eat very much sugar and they don't eat a lot of processed foods.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of their foods are fish and vegetable
seafood,
based.
So,
you know, we've got a lot to learn in the Western world.
Yeah.
Compared to what they do over in Japan.
I mean, not only isn't it processed, most of it isn't even cooked.
This is true. I must admit, sushi isn't one of the things that I
love sushi. Yeah,
I've never tried it.
Yeah, go for it, mate. Yeah, it's good for you.
I don't know about that. So just to go back to sweeteners, my opinion is if you're on sweeteners, you know, see them as a method to come off of sweet things altogether. You know, your body will thank you for it. A lot of the research that's been done has been done on mice, which I would argue that, you know, mice and humans are a little bit different, but there's some interesting research out there of the link between sweeteners and the development of diabetes and the way it affects your blood sugar and also the way it affects weight gain. You know, whilst there's no calories in sweeteners, they can still contribute to weight gain. So it's something definitely to be careful of and be aware of. Okay, so we are going to do one more song before we wrap up in about 10-15 minutes or so. And this song is a real favourite of mine. It's one of his lesser known songs, but it's from the late great Prince, and it's a fantastic song called Gold. It is 7 minutes long, but it is really worth listening to every word. Prince, you're greatly missed, and this is one of your best.
There's a mountain, and it's mighty high. You cannot see the top unless you fly. And there's a molehill, a proven ground. There ain't nowhere to go if you hang around. Everybody wants to sell what's already been sold. Everybody wants to tell what's already been told. What's the use of money if you the center of fire, there is cold, all that glitters and gold. There's an ocean of despair. There are people living there. They're unhappy, and each and every day. But hell is not fashion. So what you're trying to say? Everybody wants to sell what's already been sold. Everybody wants to tell what's already been told. Gonna break the mold. Even at the center of the fire, there is cold. All that glitters ain't gold. No. All that glitters ain't gold.
You are now an official member of the New Power Generation. Welcome to the Dawn.
Was Prince and Gold, in my opinion, one of the best songs he's ever done. You are listening to the Health Matters radio show with me, Neil De Silva, on Channel Radio. This has been the first show, so I would love some feedback as to what you thought was good and bad as well. I'm sure there's nothing bad there, but I'm open to constructive criticism, of course. And I hopefully I will make the show better and better as we progress through the coming weeks. Just had a quick tweet from Davinia Springer saying, I'm listening in, interesting show, Neil. Thank you, Davinia, for your kind words. And thank you, everyone, who's tweeted in this morning and shown me their support. It's been nice to know that I'm not alone here.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much. As I mentioned, the Twitter handle for the show is at Health Radio Show. So please do follow me on Twitter or on Facebook, search Health Radio Show. It'll be great to get some support and some extra followers on Twitter and Facebook. If you want to mention, if you want to say hello, if you have a question for me relating to health, then please do tweet me in a hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. And I'll give you lots of updates about the show, and I'll also give you lots of tips and advice about health as well. You will be able to listen again to the show if you go to channelradio.co.uk, click on the presenter page, which is my picture, and you'll be able to find me there, and there'll be the option to listen again. But also, if you go to my website, which is i-nutrition.co.uk, what you'll find there is you'll find a page for the Health Matters radio show. If you click on that, it will give you a list of all the upcoming guests up until the 4th of November, or so 4th of December even, my apologies. It will give you links there to the social media pages for the show, and there'll also be a link for you to listen to this show and all the coming shows as the weeks progress. So, Paul, how do you think it's gone then?
I think it's gone really well, Neil, and you should be very proud. It's been a really good show. It's been really informative, lots of interesting stuff. I'm drinking loads of water.
Excellent.
And you've got a guest next week. Remind us who the guest is next week.
The guest next week, we have Claire Douglas from Pretty Ambition UK. Claire came to me through a Facebook post I put out.
Right, okay.
A friend of a friend.
Okay.
And we got talking on the phone, and I think there'd be some really interesting discussions with Claire next week.
So what's her angle? What's she into?
She's into health and nutrition and weight management.
Weight management.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good. I'm listening to that.
It will be an interesting discussion.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to meeting her. Mm. And then, as I say, if you go to my my website, i-nutrition.co.uk, you can see all the guests that are coming up over the coming weeks. So thank you very much, Paul, for your support and your guidance taking me through this first show.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Neil. It's been really good, and we've had loads of listeners, so that's really cool. And it's we're looking forward to the future. It's a rosy future with it's a topic that everyone's interested in, isn't it? And it's going to, there's going to be something for everyone in it. So, it's great stuff. And we're really pleased and proud to have you and the show on Channel Radio.
Thank you very much. And if you have any questions, please drop me a tweet. And if you'd like me to cover any particular subjects in future shows, then please do tweet me as well. Thank you again for listening. It's been a pleasure to speak with you this morning. And I look forward to seeing you same time next week, next Monday, 11 o'clock, where we will be discussing new subjects about health and wellness. Have a great week, and I will catch you in 7 days. Bye for now.
Is a bloom shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you'd found a friend take you out of this place, someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day to let it get away. You're on the road, but you got clearing the sea.